Limits has kindly agreed to enter a mailbag with me. Then we're going to get the lowdown on the Steelers' opponent on Monday night. The sad sack New York Giants. Oh, my God. Do they stink? Really, really sad to see the franchise in that state right now. And this better be a win. And an emphatic one for the Steelers, I might add. And I think it will be. We got a Donnie Football Friday coming up tomorrow. But first, let us set sail together, Limits, into the mailbag. Are you ready?
Yes, I am. Let's do it.
You've never been more ready in your life. Bobby asks me, do you think this year's season, in-season Hard Knocks, will be the highest rated in the history of the show? I had completely forgotten that HBO's Hard Knocks, which I think will be streaming, let me make sure I get this correctly here, on Max. It'll be streaming on Max. Is about the AFC North.
I did too.
It starts the first week of December, which is December 3rd, which means they're already, if they're not there already starting to film the first episode, they will be soon. This is going to be amazing television. I mean, this is great stuff. You're going to have the demise of the Browns with all the drama there. The Bengals never short on stories. The Ravens and the Steelers. The quarterbacks themselves in all of this will be a story. Mike Tomlin, who has been resistant, and that's way too light a word, to the idea of ever appearing on Hard Knocks, is going to make for some great segments. He's just not going to, he's not going to be able to help it. Just being himself, he's great television. I can't wait for this, Limits. You?
You know, we might get one of those behind-the-scenes looks at things. You know how they do when people get cut, when different trades happen? We might get a behind-the-scenes look at Brian Bacco asking Mike Tomlin about Ray Fittipaldo and his question about attitude or latitude.
What if Fittipaldo and Tomlin became one of the main storylines of this show?
I don't think there's any chance that that happens, but I do think that the behind-the-scenes with Tomlin maybe talking to Justin Fields about Russell Wilson becoming the starter would be interesting.
Who else do you think from the Steelers is gonna steal the show, so to speak? Not even necessarily intentionally. You know, these types of shows just gravitate to the most compelling characters.
Oh,
who are they?
Oh, it's going to be Deshaun Elliott. Have you seen some of the things that he's tweeted out and he's...
Not really, no.
Controversial.
Like what? Political things?
Did you see the thing that he put out there, the Osama bin Tomlin meme that he thought was funny, and then that had to be taken down?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
That was bad. And he basically, I don't know why he thought it was funny, whatever. He's also just commented other things that I've seen on the Twitter timelines that people have screenshotted and are like, Deshaun Elliott's at it again with just weird comments.
So, okay, I'd love that. That's why we pay you. That's why we lift all them weights here to get that. You know, I didn't realize he might be on their radar.
That's why I'm the beat writer.
You know who I think the star of the show is going to be from the Steelers side?
Najee Harris.
Najee.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, they're going to be attracted to whatever he says and does. And the fact that he doesn't have a contract for next season is going to be a storyline. It's going to be unbelievable. He's going to be great. Him and Pickens will make for great theater on that show.
I want to see Russell Wilson behind the scenes. Is he the same Russell Wilson, big PR guy, as he is in front of the camera behind the scenes? Is he dapping up teammates saying, you know, all the politically correct answers?
I think this is going to be fabulous. What about Cleveland? Do Jimmy and Dee Haslam get involved in this storyline here?
That'll be a disaster.
Yes.
And I mean absolute disaster. We might need a watch party, Joe.
Now, the problem is that this show became really sanitized in recent years. I think it jumped the shark way back with the Raiders when Mr. Big Chest burned his feet. And it was so like conciliatory to people like John Gruden and Mike Mayock and the whole Raiders scene there. It became like a promo show for the team instead of like, what the hell is happening here? Some of the great moments from history of that show, though, Jarvis Landry. What was that line he kept saying about the, you know, it's unacceptable. What was he saying?
I can't remember.
Look that up. Just look up Jarvis Landry Hard Knocks. And I want to say what he said. Unconscionable. What did he say? I can't remember. But by the end, and then you had the, you know, people getting locked out of doors and people, you know, getting cut, and you had the video of the coach telling these people that, and then it just became too sanitized. So that's the part that worries me. Is it just going to be like a happy team PR type thing, or are we really going to get some behind the scenes looks at what's happening here? You got it yet?
Was it the don't blank live here no more? It's contagious.
Contagious. Contagious. Yeah. It's contagious.
In 97 yes. seconds, Landry dropped 23 F-bombs, used the S-word 10 times, and threw in other expletives for good measure, according to the story by USA Today.
Yes, and those were the good times for the Browns. They should open with that, and then just, they should open with Jarvis Landry doing all that, and then just slowly pan the camera to, you know, a Browns team photo or something, or one of their in-game catastrophes this season. What a joke they are, huh? But I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what they do with that. You finished with your thoughts there, Limits?
Yes, I have no further ones. I'm ready for the mailbag. I'm very excited.
Well, that was the first question in the mailbag. That we're in the mailbag.
I know. We're excited to continue going on the mailbag.
We've already entered the mailbag. Are you going to be watching on Max or HBO?
I think it's the same thing.
What?
They merged.
Oh.
HBO Max is now just Max.
So why does it say it'll be on HBO and streaming on Max?
The HBO, like the channel.
Okay.
Like the TV channel. But Max is pretty much where everything from HBO goes onto streaming-wise.
But Max is different from it watching on HBO on television.
Different on television. Then yes, that is correct.
Unbelievable you are. You're a real stickler today.
The silence is deafening.
I know. You're still mad at me. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I'm going to spend part of tonight watching these games, but I'm also going to write out some scripts for Donnie for tomorrow morning when we begin taping. Hopefully what will be an album, A Very Mulsey Christmas, and it's going to be me, City Limits, and Donnie. Does Donnie want to sing? I'm guessing not, although that might be funnier if he did. But he's definitely going to be narrating tales like 'Twas the Night Before Mulsey. And I'm going to write out the script for it tonight. And then Donnie can read it tomorrow. And that'll be the beginning of our tape of the sessions, you know.
I have a fireplace in my house that we use. It's a wood burner we use all the time in the winter.
Oh, my God.
Can I use it as a prop and start saying, can I have a big chair
yes.
that I sit by like I'm Santa and start reading off tales?
Now I'm thinking we could go out on the road. Because this is going to be a video presentation along with the songs.
Oh, is it now?
So if we want to sing, you know, something like Mulsey Roasting on an Open Fire.
I have an open fire.
There you go.
Yes.
And then we go out to, I don't know, what's the nearest ski resort? Peak and Peak? Kissing Seven Springs? Whatever it might be. We go out there and record things like Mulsey the Snowman. like that.
The Snowman. You know how, like, just so odd that sounds when you say
it's going to be so good.
Mulsey the Snowman.
And then we're going to have Steve, the guy that, you know, people hear his voice on all our promos. Like, his voice is, that's why he does promos, because he's, you know, has a James Earl Jones like baritone. And he's going to, you know, you hear on public television them trying to sell albums and records. Here are the greatest hits from the 70s. Here's, you know, Rick Springfield. And then you get the little snippets. That's get this. Yeah. Only the Christmas version. And could I hear Bob's? Because that always puts me in a good mood.
It's funny you say that, Joe, because Ron Ahern, who works here,
oh my God,
in the production booth, he came to me earlier this week on Monday and he said, is Joe for real about recording a Christmas album?
Yeah.
I paused, looked at him and said, you know what? Knowing Joe, probably.
No.
Yes, he probably is.
I'm asking
truthful.
You and Donnie to get here like at 8 a.m. tomorrow, and I will be too. And we begin taping. And I think the actual, you know how they do these documentaries on the making of Apocalypse Now, or I just saw one on the making of Rumors, the great Fleetwood Mac album. Part of it is the behind the scenes making of the album, the brainstorming. As I sit down with Donnie to explain what I need from him on 'Twas the Night Before Mulsey, all I want is quintessential Pittsburgh accent Donnie. He doesn't have to fake it. He's the real deal. Reading Twas the Night Before Malzie, and I'll give him the script, a script that he can read. And then we'll get little samples with Steve and videos, and it's going to be unbelievable. Once we whittle it down, it'll be like 1 or 2 minutes of A Very Merry Malzie, our Christmas album.
Well, Ron offered up the studio for us to record in.
I know he did.
Did he talk to you as well?
I've learned of this. And also, I think Pomp would be an unbelievable guest star on a big song. I don't know what that one will be. On the biggest song, it'd be like bringing in Bing Crosby, right? For that one. For the encore. And then you'll hear baritone voice Steve saying, and for the encore, whatever it might be.
Have you seen that?
The 12 Days of Malzie, special guest Bob Pompeiani.
Have you seen that guy Joe Long on social media? He's on TikTok. He does Pittsburgh impressions and stuff like that. He's basically like a big yinzer who basically is doing like a Deb and Dawn series where he'll like wear a wig where he's Deb and he'll have himself be Dawn. And he basically talks in a very Pittsburgh accent. Pittsburgh Today Live has done a lot. You should ask Kelly down the hall.
We should get him on the show.
A lot of impressions.
Get him
like
on
this.
The show. And then Donnie, and I mean this complimentarily, if that's a word, has a Santa-like vibe, right? He's very jolly, and he has a little beard.
I've never thought of Donnie as Santa, but...
Well, if we put a Santa hat on him, imagine how that'll enhance his reading.
And give him a red coat.
And a red coat. I'll put him in front of your fireplace, maybe dim the lights a little bit, and then you get Donnie Football reading Twas the Night Before Malzie. I mean...
A texter said, I'll have a blue, blue, blue Malzie instead of a blue Christmas.
I'm telling you, man, this is going to go national. I really believe that. The 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right. Somebody named Christian types in a question here to the mailbag. How many games does Russell Wilson have, you know, to make mistakes, I guess is what he's trying to say. Is he the guy the rest of the year after one game? What say you? Limits very quickly.
I don't think the rest of the season, because obviously a good first impression is substantial, but it's not everlasting. Like if Russell Wilson has a couple performances where he throws up on himself against the Browns. Let's say in a couple weeks, Thursday Night Football against the Browns, they lose to a Jameis Winston or Dorian Thompson Robinson team. The next day on Friday, we're going to be calling for Russell Wilson to be replaced by Justin Fields. At least I think, if he plays that badly. So no, I don't think this is 1,000% Russell Wilson's job the rest of the way.
Listen, Mike Tomlin has played this very well so far. He deserves credit for it, the way that he has characterized things and phrased them, what he's done with the depth chart. He's been very, very careful. And he's being careful with this, too. And it came out, apparently, in the NBC production meeting on Saturday when he said, you know, this is going to be still determined who our guy is, and we'll know when we get there. There's no reason for him just to declare Russell Wilson the guy for the rest of the season. He's already number one on the depth chart. What are you laughing at in there? What happened?
I'm reading the text response.
Tell me what it said.
The Christmas album.
What did they say?
Ron and Bob should record a song, It's Malzie Outside. Pomp or Malzie, It's Cold Outside. Malzie Bell Rock.
Malzie Bell Rock would be good. Yeah.
I'm dreaming of a white Malzie. Malzie, It's Cold Outside featuring Bob Pompeiani.
Yeah. Yeah, all that.
Crowley of the Bells. You like that one?
I love that one. Let's hear just again, because I think why Bob will be passionate. Listen to the way he says Malzie here. When Bob lends himself to a project, especially when it involves theater of some sort, you know you're getting the best of Bob. Let's hear him again. We're going to get the best of Bob, and that's a seller, I think. Don't you?
I think so. I mean, Bob is more known than really anybody in this city, other than like maybe the quarterback, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and TJ Watt.
Yeah, no, that's just a fact.
Or Paul Skeens. It's Bob Pompeiani next. Top 10 and most recognizable people in the city.
Here's one from Chris Barron. Why is there so much hate for Russ Wilson? What on earth has he done to deserve the universal scorn of the national media? Sure, says Chris Barron. He can be a little annoying, but he won a Super Bowl and is a borderline Hall of Famer. So I thought he was going with, you know, why are people all over Russ the personality? But it sounds like also Russ the player. And on both fronts, I don't know. He clearly went into Denver way out over his skis, and it was ridiculous. Yeah, I compare it to LeBron going to Miami, where, you know, what was the famous line again? I'm taking my talent
to South Beach.
We're going to win 8 champ, you know, that stuff.
Not one, not two, not three.
But by and large, I think a class act where there was a slip up there. And I think the same way about Russell Wilson. Like, all right, he had that time in Denver where he got way full of himself, and that was bad. Okay. I mean, other than that, over the course of a long career, he can be a little bit robotic, I guess, at times. But mostly, he's a class act to me, Russell Wilson. I took note the other night when Melissa Stark interviewed him after the game, and unsolicited, he shouted out Justin Fields, said, I want to just say, you know, he played great, got us to where we are, stuff like that. I guess people wonder if it's real. Can anybody be that positive all the time? I think Mark Schlereth termed it toxic positivity, which is a great line. Like, you know, even if the house is burning, what's the silver lining here? That type of thing. Like, come on, the house is burning. Let's move. There's nothing good about this. That type of thing. But by and large, in all my observations of Russell Wilson through his career, I think he's a good leader and a classy guy. That's my thought, and I don't claim to know him.
No, and neither of us know him. I do feel like he is a classy guy. Mark Schlereth actually came on this week with Pony and Muller on Monday and said that, you know, he basically is starting to tread a little bit lightly with how Russell Wilson performed. And, I mean, he talked about the toxic positivity, but he gave Russell Wilson his props for a good performance and something that he didn't expect. So he gave Russell Wilson some credit.
And then on the field, I feel like Russell gets demerits because the team around him was so good. He should have won 2 Super Bowls. All he had to do was hand the ball to Marshall Faulk. That should have been the play call. And he would have won 2, but he won 1. And he was a great, great player for them. So I think it's unfair, too. And I do feel it national media-wise as well. I think it's unfair. One more here. Mark Schlereth was on with the guys. How did I miss that one?
Yeah.
Could you get a couple of clips from that, please?
I can look.
Wonder Twin?
You were talking about Russell Wilson. He's really involved at Children's Hospital.
I know. We mentioned that the one day that him and Sierra, is that how you say her name?
Yeah.
Sierra went over there, and it was just some photos. I remember the photo. I mentioned it that day of the little girl just clutching onto Sierra as they took a selfie, and it literally brought tears to my eyes.
He's there.
Now, a lot of people do that kind of work in sports. I get it. But that particular visit and photo just was really powerful.
He's there every Tuesday. And we want to reiterate that. How about, you know, we had the Danger Russ sandwich today. $1 of every sandwich is being donated to Children's Hospital.
Good to bring that up. And the sandwich was phenomenal. I don't even know what was in it. It was salami.
Well, here's the list that Permanis provided.
I know French fries were in there. I ate those, and I ate everything else. And it was honestly, one of the better sandwiches I've ever eaten.
It was incredible. I always get the Pittsburgh, but this was really good. Pepperoni, salami, ham, bacon, Pittsburgh style, with provolone cheese, French fries, coleslaw, and tomato.
Yeah, all of that. I just ate one, or as much of one as I could eat. I gave some to Andrew Lindberg, since he's the one who set that all up.
I still have another half left that I need to eat. It was that good.
What a wonderful man he is. All right, last one from a guy named Bobby. The 76 Steelers went 22 quarters without allowing a touchdown. Do you think that record is untouchable in the modern day NFL? Would you like to hear my answer,
yes.
Oh Limitless Wonder? Untouchable, no. But very unlikely to be broken, although the modern-day NFL sometimes gets overblown limits compared to the early days of the Super Bowl era. You know, people think they're scoring 100 points these days, and it used to be a field goal battle, where the reality is teams in 1966 put up the same number of points as teams today. Did you know that? No, you didn't. The Green Bay Packers put up 70 points in their 2 postseason games in 66. So that gets overblown, but that's beside the point. I started to look up the NFL's most unbreakable records, and 2 of those are D. Do you remember him? No, you don't. He had 8 interceptions in one game. Nobody's getting 9. Do you think limits? Yeah.
Jim Hardy. 8 in one game?
Yeah. He was incredible. And the Buccaneers with 26 straight losses. I don't even think the Browns can get that one, can they?
No, not even close.
Jim Hardy? I think Ron covered that game. It was a Hardy Boys mystery solved by Jim. You think Dick Trickle has any records?
No.
Do you remember him?
No.
I think he was a Steeler, wasn't he? Or was he a NASCAR driver? I'm not sure.
The silence is deafening 2.0.
Limits, you have to say something.
We have a Giants reporter coming up in 5 minutes.
I know we do. I got confused on who that guy was because I saw him pop into my mentions for some reason. Not my mentions, but forget it. Who do we have coming up?
Jordan Rannan. I got to make sure that's the correct pronunciation of his last name.
All right. We'll talk to him. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High is 61 today. Sunny skies. I think a nice touch for the Malzi Christmas album would be us caroling, like showing up and knocking on his door like they do when they inform you're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You ever seen those little videos?
Yes, like you ever seen a Groundhog Day where they every single day it's the same exact thing and the carolers appear at his door? That was great.
And Malzi would open the door and there would be Donnie in a Santa outfit, you and I in some sort of maybe elf's outfits, and Bob, as the ringleader. And then we just, perhaps we could get a musical act to come with us, Pittsburgh Orchestra. Anything's possible right now. Anything's possible. More people than I ever thought listen to this show, to the point where people at the Pittsburgh Playhouse, I believe, have invited me to sing with them in a play.
Yes, and we're talking to other places about coming down there and doing things as well that we have in order.
So I can rent a van, and we get people like legitimate singers, theater people, a group, right? A chorus. I forget what they call it. A troupe from the theater. They back us up, all of us in Christmas outfits, and we serenade Malzi and his family when he opens the door, like he made the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Will he bring us some figgy pudding?
He might do that. He might do that. I think that would be tremendous as one just little 5-second scene in this special coming up called It's a Very Malzi Christmas. All right. You're waving me along, perhaps because we've gone late.
Yes.
I thought it was worth it.